And thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is April 8th, 2016. Today on A Course in Miracles, I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan, fresh from Temecula. She's been out there taking one of the classes at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, and she did say that she just needs some time to kind of, you know, acclimate and assimilate the information, and hopefully maybe next month she will share with us some of the things that she learned. But for today, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the workbook, and we're going to focus on two lessons. 101, God's will for me is perfect happiness, and lesson 102, I share God's will for happiness for me. Now, if you have a copy of the workbook handy, you might want to grab it and read along as we're talking about these lessons. And I know that y'all know Susan. She's the author of several books all about forgiveness. Wonderful books if you've never checked those out. If you want more information, you can get that from me, or you can also go to her website, which is forays.com. And we'll say that again at the end of the show. But Susan is also a co-founder for the School for A Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups here in Denver, Colorado. So this is her life. This is what she does, A Course in Miracles. So I'm thrilled that she comes and joins me once a month to talk about some of the concepts and the ideas. So we're going to get Susan on the show, but also you can join us on Facebook. We have a private 1-2 Radio chat room, and you can get there by going to the 1-2radio.com website. And on the left side of the page, if you look at that column, you will find a chat button or a chat link. Just click it, and you will be automatically redirected to Facebook, where you can ask to join the group if you're not already a member of the group. And our producer, Scott Weaver, will be there, and he'll take care of that for you. So you can make comments and that kind of thing, and I assure you, I always read those. So please join me that way if you'd like to. But meanwhile, let's get on with the show and let's get Susan on. Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, CA. It's nice to be here as always.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And, you know, grounded or not grounded, I know it's high flying when you're in a workshop like that.
Well, yeah, you know, we have different forms of resistance to hearing this material. And I find when I go out to the foundation, the teaching is so lucid and wonderful. But, you know, you're sitting in class for, you know, two hours and 15 minutes in the morning and then in the afternoon. And you really, you know, there's no place to hide.
Yes.
you're there. You're really with it. And you're really listening. And to the extent possible, allowing yourself to really focus on what's being said. And you know, this course is very confrontational to the ego. And so we become, you know, I become, we all have different forms of resistance. We may get very sleepy or, you know, frightened. That's another very common kind of reaction, you know, which is actually good to see that this does, it is fearful for us because the course is telling us that it is. But this time, my resistance really took this sense of not feeling very, you know, like, where the hell am I?
Yeah.
and it's kind of lingering. So I'm here to tell you that if I sound a little spacey at times, you know, there's some resistance going on for me, I think, with this. And yet, ironically, I chose, when we were talking about what to discuss, lesson 101, primarily, and then we might look at lesson 102, but lesson 101 is God's will for me is perfect happiness. And, of course, that's a very, although it sounds, you know, it sounds so, lofty and, you know, the bliss ninny within wants to seize hold of that affirmation. As you were saying earlier, it sounds like, you know, God's will for me is perfect happiness. That sounds so great. But the truth is, we don't think we share God's will. You know, we think we made a different will, And so this is a very, it's very frightening to the ego, to the personal self that we think we are. Because if there, if God is real, what I'm not, you know, and if God's will prevailed, then the, you know, the separate will that I think I made, the belief that I could separate from God and, you know, experience myself as a personal, as this personal other self in a world that is outside heaven, you know, that self is very threatened by the idea that God's will prevailed. And if happiness, you know, eternal happiness resides and abides only in God and only in heaven, which is the only truth according to the Course, then, you know, what am I doing here? You know? And of course we've made a dualistic world in which suffering is part of the setup. And, you know, so even though we say we want perfect happiness is only really abides in heaven, in that oneness joined as one. And so, you know, we are very confused now about what we really do want. And certainly, our experience of the world is very dualistic and is an experience that even if we have moments of seeming pleasure here, they are fleeting and, you know, can't last and are usually followed by some sort of suffering. And we're not aware that that's sort of the ego's secret, you know, agenda is to prove that we exist, but it's not our fault. We're victims of the world we see, so that we get somebody to blame the guilt that we feel within, on, so that God won't punish us. We're very afraid that we don't deserve happiness anymore because of what we really did. You know, we believe it was a sin. And so we're constantly sort of defending ourselves by trying to experience ourselves, you know, as victims of all of these incoming attacks. And so at best, we can only be ambivalent about God's will for us as perfect happiness. And at worst, we're terrified.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is one more of those lessons where we need to really look at what the words mean. Because when we look at it, like I said, it's so tempting to use this as an affirmation. God's will for me is perfect happiness. So everything's going to work out exactly like I want. I'm going to get that new car, you know, or whatever it is. But, you know, when we're reading between the lines, we've been students of a course long enough to know that there's a whole lot more to this than just that, you know, like you said, bliss ninny stuff. So sure enough, when you start really looking at this, and what does true happiness mean? What does true joy mean? You know, that contentment, it's not what we think of. It's not the getting the stuff that we think it is.
No, it's nothing to do with the world, the happiness that the Course is talking about. And it's nothing to do with the me. You know, God's will for me is perfect happiness, has nothing to do with me, Susan. You know, God's will for me is as the one child of God, that I remain in truth. And, you know, and that it remains unchanged, that undifferentiated union that we are with God. And so we don't even know the me that is being addressed here, on the level that we find ourselves at here in you know, level two. In an imaginary world outside, you know, post the thought, the tiny mad idea that we could separate from God, the belief, post the belief in that thought, here, you know, we experience ourselves as individuals. But really, this is all happening within the decision-making mind that's choosing to dream that up. You know, it's choosing to, I mean, nothing has really left that dream is really still being experienced within that one decision-making mind. And, you know, we can't really wrap our heads around that in the condition we find ourselves in, but that's where we're being led with this course. And so, it's not about any kind of getting, you know, in the world that the Course is talking about, which is what we think of as happiness. You know, having things work out my way, the way that would make, that I think would make my personal self happy. And, you know, but that's, I mean, I can't possibly judge that because I don't even know what I am, you know, and I don't really even know what's in my own best interest, as the Course says. So, So, you know, the will for me, accepting that God's will for me is perfect happiness is something that I can't do alone because I don't really know what I am. And I think I have a different will from God's. And so I need, you know, we've talked so much, you and I together, about how we can't do this course by ourselves, that, you know, we need, as long as we believe we are this personal self, we need to have a teacher in our mind, which, you know, the course uses the symbol of Jesus or Holy Spirit or just right mind, that we connect with, and we connect with deliberately, consciously, you know, that we ask to connect with, so that that we can experience what we really do want, and so that we can really begin to allow the guilt that we feel over believing that we really, really did pull off this separation from God, that we really did destroy love. You know, we need a part of our mind that knows that's not true, that remembered to laugh at that idea, to kind of connect with all the time when we're in fear, when we're upset, when we're craving the things of this world that we think are going to make us happy, you know, and trying to fill ourselves up, fill that lack within us with all of these solutions to a problem that, that really is not the problem we think it is, and really is only the problem of a mistaken belief.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you where my mind is going, although this is probably a total distraction. And it probably is. We were talking earlier about Mercury just being such a busy planet. So within the illusion of astrology, a lot of us are feeling ungrounded. But, you know, I was kind of going off on what you were saying, that we really don't often even know what's in our best interest.
Right.
You know, we think we do, but we don't. But now I know this is on the world of the illusion, but I'm going to introduce it. And that is that I was listening to an interview the other day of Susan Sarandon, and she was talking about the election. And, you know, she's well known for being quite the activist, and she's very, very liberal. But she was saying that she's actually kind of rooting for a Trump presidency. And the person, you know, interviewing her was kind of taken aback. And she said, you know, and if I interpreted what she said correctly, this is what she said. She, you know, it's like, we need a revolution in this country. So why try to put a Band-Aid on it? Why try to fix it? Let's just blow it apart. And a Trump presidency would do that. And I thought, now, see, that's a situation where she sees an end goal, but she sees a different path to getting to the end goal than a lot of people would. And I just thought that was an interesting thing, not because I necessarily agree with her, but we always are so sure that we know exactly what the right thing is, or that we know what a particular behavior or a particular event will lead to. And we're so sure of that. And yet she was basically saying, like I said, if I understood her, it's not that she didn't want maybe what other people want. She just thinks revolution is the path to get there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not sure that I agreed with her, but that's the kind of thing that always kind of stops me in my tracks, because, you know, it's so easy to get so attached to our opinions, so attached to our beliefs. And that's what the course is so good at, of coming back and just going, you're clueless, you know, you are clueless as to, you know, you get very, very attached to something, what you think will make you happy. So like in this case, a certain outcome will make you happy. And yet the truth is, an opposite outcome actually might be in your best interest.
Well, no? Yes. And yet, you know, I, no outcome.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, there is no solution in the world.
Right. And like I said, I know that was a distraction. It was going off totally into the illusion, but sometimes I need those to kind of get me back to whatever the esoteric or the metaphysical teaching is.
Right. Exactly. And really we don't, you know, I mean, this all was over long ago, the course.
Yeah.
You know, the script has already been written. We're just reviewing mentally what has gone before. And again, we can't really wrap our heads around that, but if that is true, and that is the course's stance, then, you know, again, fixing, you know, trying to manipulate the script is a really futile,
right.
Experience, you know, it's not to change the world. It's not to change the outcome. And, you know, and the course does take the compromise approach, and certainly, you know, it's we're not asked to withdraw from the world. We're not asked to not vote, or, you know, as we were talking about in the last time we talked, caucus or whatever, you know, seems to be your, seems to feel right to you to do here. But, you know, to kind of keep in mind as you're doing it, that this is, you know, which teacher am I doing it with? Everything here, mm-hmm. only purpose of it is as a classroom for learning ultimately that I'm not here, you know? So, because it is the idea that we're here and that we really did destroy love, that we really did push, you know, divide ourselves, from love. And that is the real cause of all of our suffering here. And what this lesson is also really speaking to is you know, we don't think we want suffering, but we do want suffering.
Yes.
We have suffering because that's how we, you know, and just enough, not so much that we'll actually not be able to take it anymore and possibly really listen to what the Course is saying, but enough that we feel that we're constantly being, you know, taking care of the punishment that we deserve because we believe that we have to sacrifice now for love. We believe that love is, you know, demands sacrifice because of what we did, what we believe we did. And that's not something conscious in us, but it's something that's playing out in us and very rooted in every frightened mind, you know, fragmented part of the mind. And so we're all fighting. We say we want happiness. We say we're going after happiness, but we are secretly gleeful when we're mistreated. We love a Donald Trump. We love people out there that we can, you know, jump. I mean, those of us who don't like someone, we always want someone that we feel can be an object of our projection that is worse than us. You know, it's I'm just a victim of people like that in the world, and of course, you know, Donald Trump is playing on that mm-hmm. as well. You know, I mean, it's playing on that sense within all of us that we're victimized. The victimizers that we see, we may disagree on, but we all believe that we're victimized. We all believe that we're suffering as a result of blank. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what you're pointing the finger at. The ego's agenda is always to prove that I exist, but it's not my fault. It's blanks. And we do that through our secret dreams of suffering. And, you know, which end up in, I mean, even if it's going well for a while in your dream and you've manipulated things to get things, you know, your needs met temporarily and you think you have a special relationship bargain that seems to be working out right now, it doesn't, something's going to give. And, you know, and I mean, even in those relationships that look the most successful in those bargains, with the two parties or whatever, or with countries, eventually something gives and, you know, ultimately everything gives because we die, form deteriorates. There's nothing, you know, you can't stop that. You might be able to prolong it with magic. You might be able to deny it psychologically, but you can't stop it. And of course that was part of the setup of this too, is we'll, you know, the ego saying we'll take care of the punishment ourselves. So God won't have to, you know, won't have to come and get us. And, yeah. and we do that either by projecting it on someone else, and then we do it to our own bodies so that ultimately we die. But when we die, we want to be able to say, you know, look how hard I tried and look at all these miserable people that, you know, thwarted me, you know? So we're all kind of going around doing that and you know, that's why we can't do this by ourselves. We can't do this path by ourselves because we don't know what happiness is. We don't know where it is. We think it's in the world, and you know, and it's not. The world really is only bringing us suffering, and it was set up to do that.
Yeah, and in this lesson, it actually says that, you know, we believe that we can purchase salvation. We right. believe we can purchase it through suffering.
Exactly.
And, you know, we don't have to look too far to even know that. I mean, if you were raised Catholic, you certainly know that, right?
Exactly.
You know, but you don't have to have been raised Catholic to understand that concept, that in some ways we elevate martyrdom, or we elevate that idea of suffering, because once again, it can prove to us that we're a victim. It can prove to us that we're right and somebody else is wrong. But it's really quite the confrontational thing as you read this lesson. And he says, you know, just point blank, you think you can purchase salvation by suffering. Mm-hmm. And it's not so, because none of this is true.
That's right. Maybe we should read a little bit of it.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I'm going to read from paragraph 1, sentence 3. You still believe, maybe I better back up. Today we will continue with the theme of happiness. This is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. You still believe it. Salvation asks for suffering as penance for your quote-unquote sins. This is not so. Yet you must think it is so while you believe that sin is real and that God's Son can sin. And the sin that is being referred to here is the sin, you know, the belief in the tiny mad idea that we indeed separated from God. And it was very serious. We took it seriously. It was very serious. This really happened. And now we had to come up with a plan to get away with it and
protect
ourselves and flee God. And it's predicated on the belief that God knew about it, that it, you know, it really happened, and God was aware of it. So now but God was not aware of it, the Course says. God knows only truth, and we never left our source, you know. So the whole thing is just this fantasy that we're living out, and really it's a terrifying fantasy. And you know, to purchase individuality, that was the cost, the price that we had to pay for this selfish experiment. And you know, what the Course is trying to get us to look at is, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Is this really making you happy? You know, I mean, that's what Jesus throughout the Course is asking us. He's not telling us we have to give it up or, you know, abandon the world or anything like that. He's just saying, you know, let's look together at what you're doing. Let's make this what was meant to be, you know, what you repressed, what you deliberately forgot. Let's raise it to consciousness, to awareness, and take a look at it, because the ego survives in concealment. And once you really look at it and realize this is the cause of your suffering, are you going to want to keep doing this? I mean, you can, but, you know, a madman, he says in a lot of places, is, you know, keeps doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and much, much farther down in the lesson, I like this. It says, God's will for you is perfect happiness, because there is no sin and suffering is causeless. Joy is just and pain is but the sign that you misunderstood yourself. And see, there again, it's so clear to me when, you know, when you think about it, it's like, okay, so I did all this and I've been suffering and victimized and it's causeless. I mean, that statement alone really stops me in my tracks, because, oh my gosh, I've done this for nothing. You know, there was no reason to suffer. There was no reason to do all this or to be unhappy. I love that. It's just going, well, there's just no cause for it. And, you know, it's just a symbol that you misunderstood, you know, you misunderstood who you really are.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, and it's all predicated on the idea. I mean, he goes to this great sort of rhetorical, you know, style where he's addressing us, the decision-making mind in us. And he says, if sin is real, you know, it's if.
Mm-hmm.
To reason with us, then punishment is just and cannot be escaped. Salvation thus cannot be purchased but through suffering. If sin is real, then happiness must be illusion, for they cannot both be true. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but sin is not. He's going to tell us later that sin is not real. And, you know, he says the sinful warrant only death and pain, and it is this they ask for they know it waits for them. And it will seek them out and find them somewhere, sometime, in some form that evens the account they owe with God. You know, they would escape him in their fear, and yet he will pursue, and they cannot escape. But it's predicated, again, on the idea that God knows about this.
Right.
God, we're dragging God into the dream, and he's going to come down and get us. And, you know, our plan is to have so many other bodies out there that are more guilty than we are, that maybe he's going to pass us over in his retaliation, you know. And of course, this is all a fantasy. Ideas leave not their source. We are still, you know, not one note in heaven's song was missed. We are still that oneness joined as one. And within our Father's love, but we don't know that. We've become terrified of love. And so we can't directly go back to that. You know, we can't just click our heels together and say, God's will is me for perfect God's will for me is perfect happiness. Beam me up.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. You know, because of our fear, and because the fear is not conscious. And so, you know, Jesus's whole strategy is to get us to, as our teacher, is to get us to start looking at what we have deliberately decided, you know, vowed to the ego we would never look at, you know, because mm-hmm. the ego told us if we look, you know, if we go back to the scene of the crime in the mine and look at what we did, you know, God will strike us blind. Well, God's not there. There was no crime scene, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just see that we have a choice and that it was silly and choose again. So we don't go there all at once, but we go there gradually through each, you know, each time that we find ourselves suffering in some way and wanting to blame it on something outside ourselves. You know, that's our invitation to the Holy Spirit to say, you know, I have a choice here. I could be happy. I could see peace instead of this. Help me. Help me look at it with you, at what I'm really doing with you, because I don't want this anymore. You know, it hurts. And that's our choice. So, but, you know, it's always about, he's always addressing the decision-making mind. And you know, he has this very eloquent way of saying, if sin is real, salvation must be pain. Pain is the cost of sin, and suffering can never be escaped if sin is real. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But sin is not real. You know, that's why we need this practice today. That's why we need to, a teacher, because we can't see, we believe sin is real.
Well, and I love the line that here again is farther along. It says, accept atonement with an open mind, which cherishes no lingering belief that you have made a devil of God's son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that just, when I read that, it just makes me so sad. And I think it makes me sad because I realize, you know, that's it. If there is no sin, and I believed that I could change who I really was, or I believe that by my perceptions, I can change who other people are too. And so just that idea that through our perception, we think we have made a devil of God's son.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, that almost seems sad that, you know, that's how we've used our energy. That's how we've been spending our time, is believing that we could change who we are. And of course, in this whole set of lessons, we also have that lesson, I am as God created me. And in fact, it appears twice. And I think then it appears, you know, months from now also again, because it's in here three times. You know, I am as God created me. And I think that's one of those lessons too, that, you know, you take it as an affirmation and you think, well, God created CA. You know, God created Susan. And of course, that's not what they're talking about at all.
No.
And you know, but once, like I said, so then I get to this, we believe that we made a devil of God's son.
Right.
And it's so both sad, but also refreshing. It's so healing to think you can never, ever change the real essence of who you are. Nothing you think can do that. Nothing you can do that.
It's sad to the ego, you know?
Yeah, well, my ego's sad.
Right. I mean, because we believe it really happened.
Yes.
But you know, but it didn't. And that's why we can't, you know, we can't do this alone. We have to have Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know, whatever symbol you're working with. We have to keep in contact with that part of our mind and keep asking for help from that part of our mind to see this. Because otherwise it's very harsh, it's very dark, and you know, and often the ego will try to join the journey with the course and make it, you know, this is just all hell, you know,
right.
Here, and it's you know, it's, there's no way out, and you know, our resistance, sometimes it feels like that, it really does feel like that, because we forget that, you know, that Jesus is still there, that we have another part of our mind. And we're not gentle with ourselves, and we, you know, we forget to to be gentle with ourselves, we forget that it's coming from my fear, that I'm not doing anything wrong, that this, in fact, my fear and my inability to, right, you know, my resistance right now to joining with that love in my mind could actually be a very good thing.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't be in fear if there wasn't something I was connecting with to be afraid of. And so, you know, the love is what I'm really afraid of. And so the Course says, as we draw closer to that light, as we draw closer to the love, you know, the ego will certainly try to put on the brakes and certainly try to scare us, you know. But the ego is not it's just a frightened part of our mind. The ego is not the truth in us. And so, you know, we can sort of, you know, that's when we have to kind of wait it out and just, you know, sort of suspend our disbelief and just say, you know, I don't know what's in my best interest right now. I don't know, you know, why I'm afraid, but maybe it's not for the reason I think. And even though I can't feel, quote unquote, the love of God or the love of Jesus right now beside me, it's just because I'm too afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we take the long view with this course, we will go through periods of time like that with it as our commitment strengthens and our, you know, our resistance also seems to sometimes strengthen. But if we take the long view, I think we realize that the Course does bring us more peace, that we are able to, have been able to connect with the part of our mind that knows that there's no guilt in me or you, you know. We have shifted the way we look at others' special relationships, troubling relationships in our lives, and we are responding often with more compassion to things that maybe were very, very difficult for us before and we felt very judgmental in. And so, or we are being able to look at the pain in our own bodies differently. And so, you know, it's really a matter of the ego still is there, but we don't spend as much time there. You know, it's still very, very painful. But we are actually over time making progress, and not to try to judge our own progress, but I think it's helpful to remind yourself.
Yes.
you know, give yourself some credit for your commitment to this and for your willingness to learn what is happiness, to open to, you know, what do I really want to be mindful of, you know, when I'm judging myself and judging others. Whether it's in the news, whether it's in my personal life, it really doesn't feel good. And I want, you know, I know that there is a way to see this differently. I've experienced it, and I want more of that. You know, I want to feel innocent again. And I know I can't do that by myself. I can't do it without my teacher, and I can't ever experience being innocent whilst seeing guilt in someone else. You know, I will have to change my mind about believing that my problems or my suffering is a result of someone else's behavior. You know, because that, I mean, I will never find peace if that is the case, because it's just not true.
Right.
You know?
Well, and even at the end of this lesson, it says, give these 5 minutes gladly. When it's talking about doing the practice, to remove the heavy load you lay upon yourself with the insane belief that sin is real. Today, escape from madness. You are set on freedom's road, and now today's idea brings wings to speed you on and hope to go still faster to the waiting goal of peace.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once again, I know I get caught up in the words of it. I get caught up in the form. But, you know, that's it. It's like, give this time gladly. Because every time you do, you're removing a heavy load. And you're remembering that you're not insane. You know, you don't have to be mad. You can escape from madness.
And it's very, very hopeful because, you know, the real hope of A Course in Miracles is that we are a decision-making mind. that, you know, I do have control over what I'm feeling, you know, and we're not this doomed sinful ego. And I do have, you know, there is hope that I can remember that I have a choice in any and every situation to see things differently, to experience this differently, to discover my innocence again, discover that I am really not the home of evil, darkness, and sin, but, you know, but eternally loved and loving, just like everyone else. All of these, you know, shenanigans that we see that everyone's trying to pull off here to defend themselves from this horrible guilt that they feel within the mind, you know, it means nothing ultimately. Our innocence is absolutely unassailable, you know, absolutely invulnerable. And, you know, what precedes that awareness of our oneness is the dawning, the slowly dawning awareness that we have a choice, you know, in every moment about which teacher we're choosing, and through that choice to return to our right mind, we are seeing that the result will always be that we see that we're all the same, you know, that this person that I love to point a finger at is coming from the same fearful place that I am, you know. We become very compassionate with the fear that we have and the guilt that we've been making real, and no, you know, and we see that no wonder people are acting out like this. No wonder I get so angry. No one, you know, of course people are going to be angry here. And it just dissolves the animosity, you know. and so this is a very hopeful course. We have a process that's very easy, and just all it asks of us is to question, you know, what's really happening here? What is really going on? What is the real cause of this? And the course is so consistent. There's one cause of every bit of suffering that I'm experiencing, and that is my decision to believe I'm separate. And all I have to do is change my mind. That doesn't mean that the form of the dream will necessarily change, but it means that the way I perceive it will. And I can go through anything in peace. You know, what kind of hope is, I mean, that's wonderful. Who
right.
would want that, you know, to be really, the world, again, the script was written, the world was written to do crazy, crazy things in the defense of making separation real. But, you know, let them be, what power does that have over my peace of mind? It has none. It only has the power that I give it, you know, and that's where happiness, that's where we begin to, you know, we are beginning to, instead of believing that we renounced God's will, return to God's will, because we're, you know, we're returning to innocence in this. And, you know, when all of our fear and guilt are dissolved or undone through this process, then we will only share, you know, we won't have a split mind anymore. We will know that the will of God is our will too. And, you know, then it's over.
Right. Well, and in the next lesson in 102, a couple of the ideas that get introduced that I like is, it kind of says, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's saying, you know, by doing these lessons or by working with this course and by really looking at yourself, surely you realize that now your belief is shaken. You know, you don't believe this stuff as firmly as you did before. You know, the root of it, you know, you're really examining it. And you're shaking that belief. And there again, that is so hopeful that we can focus on the progress that we're making, like you said. You know, that now we're not so sure of that stuff anymore. It may not be gone, but we're just not so sure of it. And we're really starting to question. And here again in the lesson, it says you're starting to question and realize that pain is purposeless. You know, that idea is finally starting to sink in. And once again, paraphrasing, and you know, all of this is just awaiting your choice. That's all it is, just awaiting your choice.
Right. We you know, we don't have to understand it all and really can't, but the ego has a purpose for pain, and that is to make, you know, make sin real. And make God unreal to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and to make me real. But we can, you know, we can begin to, you know, recognize that we are in charge of how much we want to suffer.
Yeah.
It's really optional, right? So, you know, it says in this first paragraph that you were referring to, you do not want to suffer. You may think it buys you something and may still believe a little that it buys you what you want. Yet this belief, as you were saying, is surely shaken now, at least enough to let you question it. And that's, you know, that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is questioning the cause, raising to doubt the cause of my reactions. You know, I'm not upset for the reason I think, even maybe I'm not.
Right, right.
That's enough. We don't have to believe it fully, but you know, our faith in what we're experiencing and our reactions is beginning to loosen. It is shaken. Because we've had experiences where we see that we're wrong.
Right.
And we need to have those experiences that we're wrong to begin to entertain the possibility that Jesus is right, you know? And if we do this, if we practice this, we will have those experiences, you know? And we can't judge our own progress with the Course, because we really, you know, that's impossible. Again, what would we be judging with, you know?
Right.
But we can remind ourselves when we get, you know, discouraged, or we're in those periods where we feel stuck. And for me, it always presents as feeling cut off from Jesus, like my teacher ran away, you know,
mm-hmm.
But Jesus doesn't go anywhere because, you know, we're the ones who run away. But that's the way it's experienced for me. And I think, you know, it's some form of that, whether you're using the symbol of Jesus or not, it's a feeling that presence within you is gone. And that's a very painful feeling, but you know, we can remind ourselves that we've been there before, and it's really me, my fear, that frightened child within me that became afraid and is running away, because you know, I still don't really know what the alternative means to be all loving and to be without, you know, without this physical personal self. And it feels like I have to give that up, which is a lie, because the Course is not asking us to do that. So, you know, we can remind ourselves when we start feeling that way, that really all we're asked to do is question and, you know, be gentle with ourselves, that I will get through this, because this is, you know, there's no going back now. And I am resolved to go home, because my way isn't working. I asked for a better way. And this is my, you know, Course is not the only way, better way, but it's the way I've chosen. It's the practice I've chosen, and the practice works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to, you know, put on the brakes a little bit, but when my fear subsides, I'll keep going with this, you know? Jesus is not, Ken always used to say, you know, adagio, go very slowly with this, because you can't rush through because our fear is too great. And so it's good to have a healthy respect for your own fear, you know?
Yeah.
And again, a healthy respect for the fact that I can't do this by myself, you know, but Jesus is always there, that my right mind never really goes away. It's just my fear. And, you know, I will resume when I'm ready.
Yeah.
So let's see what else he says in here. Yet this belief is surely shaken now, at least enough to let you question it and to suspect it really makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know? So we have to have like a suspiciousness of our own egos, you know, it's just really like, if I'm being hateful right now, if I'm really like entrenched in wanting to be right and winning my argument, or, you know, I'm yelling at the TV or something like that, even if it's just, you know, not out loud, because of something I was seeing on, you know, in the primaries or whatever, then, you know, what's really, who's in charge there? Which teacher have I chosen? You know?
Exactly.
and it's my, you know, I'm in charge here. That's my choice, which means that's the hopefulness. I can choose again. I'm not Susan sitting here, you know, victimized by blank. I have a choice about, you know, how I want to look at this. And if I look at it with my right mind, it will come to me, the the perception will come to me in some form of seeing that this is my call for love, you know, in whatever seems to be the other person's bad behavior, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, as you said before, putting it right back to the really practical, you know, it's questioning ourselves and really saying, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
How's it working out for you?
Yeah.
You know,
if
you're perfectly happy and it's working out great, then maybe you don't need to question it. But if it's not, and I suspect for most of us, it's not. Then we can let that one question, how's that working out for you, really kind of open up something where maybe we do start questioning that belief, or we start questioning, you know, our methods for doing things.
Right. Well, and I mean, even if we aren't ready to let it go, the questioning puts us back in the decision making, you know, at least entertaining the possibility that I have a choice.
Right.
And I mean, ultimately, through this practice, if you are mindfully practicing the course in this way on a consistent basis, it doesn't feel good. I mean, it really, you become much more sensitized to the guilt of how you feel when you're judging someone. And so you kind of can't stay there very long, you know?
Right.
It's so painful. It's just so, it's like, you know, that's part of the method that Jesus is using with us is to get us to see, you know, how's that working out? How does that feel? You know?
Well, and that's it. It's painful. And now it's kind of goes back to the matrix of taking the red pill or the blue pill. Not only is it painful, but now we know we have a choice.
We have a choice.
You know, now we know I'm not in pain and I'm a victim to it. I don't have to play the victim to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, eventually, you know, compassion does return again, because you do see that this is coming from the same fear, you know, and it just, that hierarchy of illusions that's so central to the ego thought system really begins to kind of collapse under that scrutiny, you know, how could it be otherwise, you know, if everything outside is an outside picture of an inward condition, of the inward condition of guilt in my mind, how could it be that this person is more hateful than another? It can't, you know.
Right.
So really, again, you know, that's that, and we don't have to muscle our way through that or analyze it. I mean, that's not the practice. The practice is just the questioning opens the door for your right mind to bring thoughts like that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience to you, you know.
Well, and I always love going back to that whole idea of I am as God created me, and nothing I do, nothing I think can ever change that. I can believe that it can, but nothing can ever change that. And, you know, I always kind of go back to the idea, like in our world, like let's say, you know, my mother's the queen and I'm the princess. Well, that relationship can never change. I'm still the princess no matter what I'm doing. And I kind of go back to some of those things because, once again, we think we can change those basic relationships. We think that we can change the essence of who we are. We never can.
Right.
You know, we can't do that. You know, God created me a certain way or whatever. And like I said, that's not CA. That, you know, CA is my perception. CA is kind of what I've created. But I am as God created me, and I can never change that. That's true regardless of what I think and what I'm doing. And there's something so comforting in that.
Right. And there's something very, very comforting in it when we're right-minded. But, you know, there's also something deeply challenging in accepting that God create, you know, I am as God created me because who is the me?
Right.
As we were saying earlier. So,
right.
So, you know, of course we're going to be threatened by this, by A Course in Miracles, but, you know, that's why we have to have a teacher. That's why we have to go gently. And that's why we have to just be very, very kind to ourselves in our process. Because it's bound to rattle us at a level that we're not in touch with. when we are given statements, you know, that are true, but are not as the way we perceive ourselves in every way opposite to the personal self that we think we are.
Yes. Well, and Susan, thank you so much for suggesting these particular lessons for today. I mean, it goes right in line with what we'll be looking at in the workbook this week, these particular lessons. So thank you so much for suggesting these and for coming on the show today and discussing them. And before you go today, is there anything that you'd like to announce? Anything coming up in Denver or in your life or at the foundation that you'd like to talk about?
You know, not anything at the moment, particularly, except, you know, the usual pitch for the the foundation's classes, which, you know, I had just gotten back from one of them, and you can stream them. You can go to Temecula directly and participate. But all that information is on their website, Foundation FA. I can never do the acronym in my head, but you'll tell them.
FACIM.org.
Thank you. Isn't that weird? But anyway, so, and they, I also have put out, two new CD sets of Ken's that have just been released. So if you go to their bookstore page and look for new releases, I believe you'll find it there. And, I just bought those two and I'm really excited to read them. I think one is from a workshop in 2010 and the other is from a workshop in 2013.
So, oh, good.
Yes. So they look wonderful. And as are all of his works, and they're continuing to do all kinds of great book sales because they are going to be gradually phasing out the print books, additional publication of the print books. And so there's some great sales going on there. And, you know, I would highly recommend that you check it out and check out, if you're not familiar with the foundation's website, or even if you are, there's all kinds of online resources there, questions and answers, articles of Ken's that are all free and downloadable. So
nice. Yep. And I agree. It's such an incredible resource for anybody studying A Course in Miracles or interested in A Course in Miracles. So
Yes. Yeah,
thanks for always pushing that. And also I want to announce Susan's website again too, which is www.forayesinforgiveness.com. And so that's all one word, forays, forays, inforgiveness.com. So you can find a number of announcements. And Susan tends to do a lot of interviews with people, which she posts on that site, and other kinds of announcements and information. So that's also a wonderful resource, you know, to just kind of link around and get some additional information. So Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, CA. It's always fun to talk.
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing more about the course that you just took in Temecula at the foundation.
Yes. I hope I can remember some of
that. Oh, you will. You know, you just need to get a little grounded.
Yes, exactly. So I apologize for that. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And everybody, thanks for being here today and listening to the show. And whether or not you're listening live or whether you're listening to an encore on demand, thank you very much. And also thanks to everybody who did join me in the chat room today. I always love to see that. And I read your comments. And remember that you can always find me for readings, personal consultations, mentoring, and coaching over on 12listen.com. You can also find me on 12 Radio on Tuesdays, where I'm talking about the illusion of astrology, which is one of my favorites. I figure as long as I'm living in this world, I might as well have a good time. So you'll find me on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, doing that. But for today, I hope that you will stay tuned, because we have a lot of new shows coming up right after this one, starting with Christine Dumaurier and the Through Line. So please stay tuned to 12 Radio here on Fabulous Fridays. Or like I said, you might be listening to this as an encore, but we have some great stuff coming up today. So until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about happiness.